we turn to our scripture reading this morning, it comes from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84, and she never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. The word of God for the people of God. Have you ever known a place or location? It could be a store, it could be a restaurant, or someplace where you have a regular person that's there. You know, the regulars, it's usually an older person, always seems to be present, always seems to, if you're going to encounter them, you're looking for them, you go to that place and you'll find them. It's usually a person that's lived a long time in that area. They know the history of the place, and you can always count on them to show up. And in the little town of Port Royal, Kentucky, where Ann and I lived during our seminary years, right across the street from the church and the parsonage was the Farm Supply hardware store. And it, as shared before, it was kind of like a store back in the 1920s or 30s. Little farming town. It had three tables inside with some with chairs and a bench built on the front of it. And the old timers would all kind of come in and congregate through there. And you could pretty much guarantee every day they would be there at some point or another. And, you know, some of these guys, when they would show up, if you spent time talking with them, you'd learn a lot of history. Sometimes you'd learn some information about people and events. They talk about the weather, obviously. It was always fun to interact with them, and sometimes you'd get some wisdom, and sometimes you'd get what they thought was wisdom maybe wasn't the wisest thing to do. And I can remember numerous stories. There was I'll tell you one, that there was a statue of a guy that was in the cemetery that was, they had a statue made of him, and it was his grave marker. And one older guy named Cecil told me, he said, "Yeah," he said, "I remember him." He said, "I knew him, and, you know, and he looked just like that." But if you went and you checked the gravestone, he died 10 years before this guy was born. So he never knew him. And then there was Decker. Decker loved to go fishing because they were close to the Kentucky River. And the thing you learned about Decker was, you'd ask Decker, said, "You know, how's the fishing?" And he'd say, "Oh," he said, "it's not very good. The fish just aren't biting or anything like that." Well, when he told you that, that's when you wanted to go fishing, because they were biting really well, and he didn't want you to go and catch the fish. So he would tell you not. But if he told you, "Oh, the fish are biting like crazy," then they weren't biting at all, but he was trying to encourage you, so you'd go and let him know when you start catching fish. You had to, you know, there's different people. And they gather in these towns, and some of these people like that. In another town, there was a little grocery store that you could go and get coffee and sit down, and two or three of the guys, they'd be there every morning for the same thing. Another place, there was a little restaurant coffee shop, and you'd have the same crowd come in every morning before they go someplace. And you could talk with them and listen, gather a wealth of wisdom. Well, Simeon in this story, he's one of those kinds of people. You know, you could find him at the temple. His purpose for being there was he was watching and looking for the Lord's Messiah to reveal himself, at least to him, because he'd been promised by God he wouldn't die until he saw who the Messiah was that God was bringing forth. And so he'd go to the temple on a regular basis looking and watching. Now, it doesn't tell us who he was looking for. He just was hoping that the Spirit of God would explain it to him. He might be sitting there at the temple and watching any adult male go through, thinking, is that the one? Praying about them. The young youth who'd come through, is this the one? Praying about it. Anybody bringing their babies in, praying about it. Doesn't say who he was, how he was going to identify it. It was just he was watching for the one God had promised that he would point out to him. And so he probably prayed over every person that he didn't know coming through. Now, Simeon came, it says, because prompted by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that he had a regular time that he showed up, but he came prompted by the Holy Spirit to be there. And the Temple Mount, it's a huge place. If you've ever been to the Temple Mount covers about 36 acres. So to get a perspective of that, if you take all of Concord's property, going clear back here by the pavilion and out to Orchard Crest and down through here, that's just a little bit more than 36 acres. So it's a huge place for a lot of people. There was a lot of different entrances and stuff to enter into the thing. Lots of activity, all kinds of people going. And so Simeon is prompted by the Holy Spirit to go into that huge place. And he's prompted to be at the exact place where Joseph and Mary come with the child. It wasn't happenstance. It was guided by the Holy Spirit. The right time, right place, right people. They come to the temple for two reasons. Number one, 8 days after Jesus was born, which would be today compared to our Easter or our Christmas Sunday, he was circumcised, and then 40 days after that, Mary had to come for her purification following that, but then they also needed to present Jesus before the Lord. Now, according to the laws, every firstborn male belonged to God, so they would come and they would present the child, and then they would pay five of these type of silver coins. These are called the Pidyon Haben coin. And these coins, they would present five of those, and then they would basically redeem or buy back their child from the Lord. And if they didn't redeem or buy back the child, much like Samuel, his mother took him to the temple and left him there to be raised by the priest, the child then would become part of the priesthood because he belonged to God. So Joseph and Mary, they paid their five coins, presented him, and took Jesus home with them to raise him. But as they came in to do that, Simeon spots them. Simeon is spoken to by the Lord, and he goes forward. Now you think about Simeon. The right time, right place, right people. Have you ever been prompted by God to be someplace, to be with some people, or to speak to some people? You know, you're given an opportunity in which you might share who and what God would want you to share with them. Now, do you miss your opportunity because you're nervous, you're not sure what to say? Or are you surprised at how God uses you in that moment to reveal or open a door of ministry, kind of like you're the spark that catches in their tar cloth? Simeon, he was watching and waiting and eager, and he seized the moment. Simon, seeing the baby Jesus, knows in his heart, this is the Lord's Messiah, the one who would redeem Israel, and his response is to take the baby in his arms. And it's interesting, it doesn't say anything except that just Simeon went and took the baby in his arms. All you moms with a baby that's about a month old, some strange old guy that you don't know, comes up to you and picks up the baby. How do you think you might react in that? And raising the baby up, most likely, you know, he holds him up before the Lord, and he says, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Now, it's interesting when he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." In the Greek, the word that's used there for seeing is oida, which is the normal word for seeing is blepo. That was the first word we learned in Greek class in seminary, was blepo. Blepo, when it means to see, it's like, I can see the tree. I can see you. You know, I can see to read. But when the Greek word oida is used, it means I can see now with understanding. I can comprehend what you're trying to explain to me. And Simeon says, you know, my eyes now can comprehend the salvation you've prepared in the presence for all people. This is a light of revelation to the Gentiles. He's speaking to the entire world, and also for glory for the Jewish nation of Israel. That's how Simeon responded when he first saw Jesus. He takes him in his arms, he holds him, and he declares that. How do you respond when you encounter Jesus? Do you take him in your arms? Take him into your soul? How do you hold on to him that you might have this personal encounter that you can say, now I can go in peace? Or do you smile and nod, say, cute baby, and never get that personal connection? Maybe in some ways you just walk away. Again, being prompted by the Spirit, looking for the right moment that God wants to work. Yesterday, Ann and I were up at the Grove City Outlet Mall to meet with her brother and his wife, and their daughter, who just recently got married, and her husband were along, so we were getting to meet him. And sitting in the restaurant, and I suddenly thought, oh, yeah, I usually fold up, I've told you about folding up the dollar bills and passing, and I thought, I haven't done that. And so I started pulling out and folding up, and their son-in-law asked me, so what are you doing? I said, well, I fold these up a lot of times. I give them to the waitress, and I usually ask the question, how can we pray for you? And I said, it's just interesting sometimes, the response. And so we got it done. And then the waitress, Mallory, she came. And so I said, Mallory, I said, this is for you. And she said, oh, that's nice. It's wonderful. As I gave her a heart and everything, I said, but there's a question that goes with it. And she looked like, okay. And I said, the question is, how can we pray for you? Her face lit up. Then she started to cry tears, and she's saying, oh, don't do this to me. Don't do that. And then she said, would you pray for me? Because a week from tomorrow, she said, I'm supposed to have surgery in my mouth for cancer. And so we prayed with her at that moment. And the son-in-law kind of looked at me and just kind of said, oh, I see why you do this. That was a moment where I had not planned on it, and I suddenly was prompted and thinking, oh, yeah, I need to pull out a bill and start doing this. You know, God places you in certain times, just like Simeon was in the temple at the right time. God gives you an opportunity to encounter people and to speak to them. Simeon, while holding that child and handing it, Jesus back to Mary, says Jesus is for the rise and the fall of many people. So many hearts are going to be revealed through him. Good hearts and bad hearts will be revealed. You think about that, you know, the hearts of Peter, John, Andrew, where they would be shortly after the resurrection. The hearts of Caiaphas, who is supposed to be the leader of the priesthood, but yet is so dark and filled with hatred. You know, there's all kinds of hearts that when you encounter Christ, it's revealed.
good, bad, dark, light. We need to ask ourselves, where do we want to be counted? Among which hearts? When ours are revealed. Now, I find it interesting because it says Joseph and Mary marveled at this. And you consider what they already knew about Jesus. You know, Mary knew, like, this isn't just an ordinary child because I've never been with a man and I conceived and it, you know, the angel told me that who this child would be. She knew that. Joseph, who was about to divorce Mary, and an angel appears to him and tells him the whole thing, and he's aware. They have the shepherds that have come forth and spoken to them and said, you know, angels appeared to us out in the field, and, you know, they were singing and all this glory, and they told us to come. We came and found it just like they said, you know. So they've heard all these stories. They know everything that has already been revealed. But then when Simeon says that this is to be the salvation, and hearts will be revealed, they marveled again at that. They didn't yet fully comprehend what God was preparing to do. Their expectations of the Messiah were still limited by their understanding. So as we're about to take some time and consider and participate in communion, I challenge you that as you receive the body of Christ, be like Simeon, take that body in your hands, just as he held the baby Jesus. And ask God to reveal to you what he wants you to hear. And as you dip the cup, the bread in the cup, and receive the blood of Christ that was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins, ask, who might you tell of this great love God has for us? Scripture story says that at that moment, while Simeon was speaking with Joseph and Mary holding the Christ child, Anna, who was an older woman that never left the temple, she stayed there day and night, it says. There were plenty of large area, plenty of rooms, places to stay. She came up, and then she went and started telling everybody she knew about Jesus. Now that you have encountered Jesus Christ through communion, through worship, who will you tell? Where will you go and share the good news? As you go from here, remember there's a whole world of people like Charcloth waiting for you to throw the spark of God's love, the story of Jesus Christ, that they might catch fire and become a roaring flame of God's love. Go forth like Anna, like Simeon, and proclaim who Jesus is. And may you go in the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.